The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Following the last 3 weeks, you probably think I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you know your baptism date. But actually, raise your hand if you think there are any prophets in this room. Prophets, with a PH. Okay, nobody's raising their hand. Very interesting. But every Christian is called to be a prophet. If everybody had raised your hand, you actually would have been right also. But there's a little hesitancy. What is a prophet? Is a prophet someone who predicts the future and says weird things and does things that no one can understand until, aha, the moment when the sun falls and he's like, "I was right"? That's not the type of prophet we're talking about. We all have a sense of wanting to do something worthwhile, of something that lasts in life, that's meaningful. And that's what a prophet actually is. A prophet is someone who wants to be a co-creator with God, and they go out and they do it, and they share it with others. We have an instinct for doing something with our lives, and that comes from God. It comes from the love that's within us, and we want to pour it out on others. We can't help it when God begins to transform our heart. We're built to make a difference in the world, and we can't be happy unless we feel we are making a change. It's part of our mission in life to co-create something that will last. Imagine an expectant mother. She's just so excited because she has the first sonogram image of her baby. She has the first image of her baby, and she's going around showing everyone, "Look, look, this is my baby. You see, his nose is just like his father, but maybe he has my hair." Whatever the baby looks like, there's nothing that makes her happier than sharing that image. At that moment, she's not just a mother, she is actually a prophetess. She and her husband have been co-creators with God to bring this baby into the world. She's sharing it with others and saying, "Yes, join my life. Look at the good news I have." That's what being a prophet is. And it's actually very poetic and prophetic in another sense, along with Jeremiah's word today, when God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you." Because God didn't need a sonogram to look and to see who we are. He knew it from the very beginning, and he's the one who created us to love others. So we want to dedicate ourselves to something real, alive, and lasting. But we know that the only thing that really lasts in life is what? It's the kingdom of God, because only his kingdom will last forever. That's the thing we have to dedicate ourselves to. All other kingdoms and nations, all other accomplishments in life are like the crack of a firecracker. They're loud, but then they're over. We want something deep to satisfy us, and that is Christ's kingdom. So not only are we his warriors of prayer, in a sense, but we're also his ambassadors. We go out to spread his message. Where is Christ in today's world? If you say, where is Christ in this room? Let's make it personal. Where is Christ in this room? Again, everybody should raise their hand. Christ is right with you. Christ is in you because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You come to this church to join the Eucharist, but you already have Christ within you. We can never forget that. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations, so now brace yourself for action. Stand up and tell them all I command you. Christ fulfills the prophetic office not only by the hierarchy, like the Pope and the bishops and the priests, but by everyone in the church, the laity. He establishes them as witnesses and provides them with the sense of faith and the grace of the word to teach in order to lead others to faith is the task of every preacher and of each believer. We are all called to that task. Lay people also fulfill the prophetic mission by evangelization, the proclamation of Christ by word, and the testimony of life. This evangelization is accomplished in the ordinary circumstances of the world. Well, that's really been the emphasis of the church for the last 50 years, is not only to proclaim it from here, but in the ordinary workday, family life, and that's what we all have the chance to do. The true apostle is on the lookout for occasions of announcing Christ by word, either to unbelievers or to other faithful. That's all straight from the catechism. Now, one of the great examples, illustrations of this, was the life of Malcolm Muggeridge. He was a journalist for the BBC, and he made the British Broadcasting Corporation one of the most powerful media corporations in the world. But when he started out, he was an atheist. He wasn't worried about God, and actually, he didn't have anything to do with it. But he was sent to cover who? In India, in Calcutta, Mother Teresa. And so he goes there, very skeptical atheist, to see what this small nun from Albania is doing on the streets in India. And he watches her. He watches her and her nuns picking up the dying on the street, people who everybody would step over, people who had vermin and infections and open wounds. How could these little nuns lovingly embrace them and pick them up and care for them? They never preached one word to him. They never said any argument for Christ. But it was their actions that converted him. And he did join the church, went on to make a documentary that made Mother Teresa a household name almost overnight. So that's the power that God can have through our actions. We're not Mother Teresa, but we are ourselves, and God has a special purpose for us. So to be a prophet, there's a few prerequisites. There's three of them, actually. First is to keep up our personal friendship with Christ. Without the source, there's no outflow. Without God in our hearts, we can't do very much. So we have to keep up that personal friendship with Christ by making time for God every day and inviting him into our hearts. We could be like a Christmas tree that's unplugged, or we could be the Christmas tree that's plugged in, that shines for everyone. Second, we have to do our best. We have to show our talents and develop them. Now, a lot of people say, I don't have a talent for preaching. I don't have a talent for doing that. But we do have a talent for something in life. Cooking is a talent. Organizing a room is a talent. Playing sports is a talent. Or even just being cheerful and telling someone a joke that will have, make them have a good day, that's a talent too. And we have to develop them as best as we can. And the third thing we have to do is to bounce back from our failures. We can get discouraged for years if we fail at something. Why? It was all a gift to begin with. So if we fall off of our horse, all we have to do is ask God to put us back in the saddle and go forward with life. We're all failures. Only God is perfect. But it's because of our failures and our weakness that He can step in and say, I give you my strength, not our own strength. Christ renews His commitment to us every day, so let's renew our commitment to Him. There's nothing else that would make Him happy than to renew our commitment to Him and to become His prophets. Now, I could stop there, but I think some of you are not convinced yet. You know, we always want a miracle in life. Jesus actually says, don't make me show you a miracle. I want you to believe with faith. But if we need one, just listen to this. Modern miracle. Get ready to believe and proclaim the good news of Christ to the world, though, after you hear it. It was on the evening of the last day in October of 95 when Pope John Paul II was visiting the U.S. And he was scheduled to go to a seminary in St. Mary's in Baltimore to meet them. But he made a change of plan at the last minute, and he said, I want to go into the building. I want to go in and meet everyone. I want to visit the whole place and bless it and go to the chapel and pray. And so the security were scrambling. They hadn't planned for that. So they brought in specially trained dogs. And they sent the dogs through all of the buildings, all the rooms, to search, to make sure no one was hiding and that nothing was suspicious. Now, these dogs are trained to find, for example, people who are hiding in a building or after a tornado or a disaster to locate bodies. They have one purpose in life, and that is to identify a human body that's hidden somewhere. So they sent these dogs through. The dogs didn't find anything. The last place they sent them through was the chapel. The handlers were amazed because the dogs stopped in front of the tabernacle, stopped and sat and pointed at the tabernacle and whined, giving the handlers the signal that they had found human life. A lot of people don't believe that Jesus is really human and present in the sacrament. But those dogs who are trained to find human life hidden in a room found Him in the tabernacle and they would not move. All we have to do is be like even those dogs, to sit before Jesus, to point at Him, to whine and beg for Him to come in our heart and to bow down in adoration. That's the miracle we need to hear so that we can proclaim the truth that God is present in the sacrament. God bless you all.